Blog Talk Radio. All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American workers back to work. Start buying more American-made products. Now, a Michigan-based company is leading the way in this movement to strengthen our economy. It's called AmericanMadeProducts.com. AmericanMadeProducts.com is more than a way to purchase American...
It was called Donald Trump. Anyway, we're I stopped the commercial. By the way, we were talking today, and I forgot to tell you, my cousins, you know, both of them worked at Saginaw Steering Gear in Athens, Alabama. They both got a letter in the mail, and it stated that they could lose $600 off their pension.
Why?
Don't know why. They don't know why. It's a letter from General Motors and UAW. And there you go. Said it's not official, and it's not... It just might not happen, but it said you could, we are looking into things or whatever, you know, la, 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 all the double talk, but it's sick. It could be $600 off what they're making now on their pension.
A month.
A month. Yes.
Nice.
What sounds funny, me or the?
I think it sounds fine.
Something you wrote earlier. Never mind.
Yeah. No, I mean, it sounds funny that they're going to be getting possibly losing $600 a month on their pension.
Right.
I
didn't get any letter. I didn't get anything. They just sent me, they sent me something about how much money was in the pension and all this
sure.
sort of thing. But, other sure. than that, I sure didn't get any letter like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. I told them to. Like, send it, you know, email me a copy of that letter or whatever
right.
it is. Yeah. And hopefully they will. We'll see. But yeah, but $600 a month. I don't know what's going on that deal.
That's some serious cash when you're on a limited budget.
Yeah, very serious. I might have to go back to Kroger.
Well, it hasn't affected you yet.
No, it hasn't. I haven't got anything like that. I don't know why they have. Who knows? I have no idea.
Right.
Don't, unless it's something to do with Delphi, And other than that, I don't know.
How long ago did they retire?
How long have they been retired?
Yeah.
He's been retired before I retired. Both of them retired before I retired, actually. And one went up to Saturn because... I don't know why the hell he went to Saturn. He only was there a week, you know, that they wanted him to retire from Saturn or something. I cannot remember the reason for it.
They both retired as General Motors.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they have a GM pension.
Right. They have a GM pension, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I'd be getting a hold of somebody and asking them, you know, hey, got a letter in the mail.
Yeah, I'm
What's
sure.
This mean?
my cousin, one of my cousins. The other one, you know, well, it hasn't happened yet. And the other one is
right.
quite concerned, and I'm sure he believes the union can do no wrong. And he
cool.
doesn't quite believe anything that I tell him. Well, he believes it, and then he doesn't believe it. You know what I mean? One of those deals. He has full confidence in Solidarity House. Why? I have no idea why, but he does. So I'm sure he'll be calling.
I think I would be more concerned if that was the case. Then don't call the union first. Go ahead and call corporate. You know?
Yeah.
Say, hey. Who's ahead of the pensions? And call them up and say, hey, what's going on? And then if you don't like that answer, because they're the person who gets you your pension check, it's not the UAW, folks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Call Fidelity.
Up until a few years ago, you know, the UAW wasn't involved in our pensions. It was just you and I us and the corporation. That was it.
Right.
But people don't realize when you vote on these bad contracts, all the stuff that's hidden in them till afterwards. And that's one of the things that was hidden in the contract. So they negotiate our pensions now. Instead of you and I, you know, agreeing when we sign a contract, that contract is between us and the corporation.
Right.
Between us, the corporation, and the UAW.
That's true.
Man, I'd be really, really concerned about that, you know. $600.
Yeah, I'd be real concerned because, you know, once they get a letter, it's a matter of time. It's just to me, it's just a matter of time. We're just going to get you used to the idea that you might be out $600 a month. So we'll see how that works out. I will keep you informed, like everybody else informed.
Wow. That'll be...
That's something.
Yeah, it is. You know, considering that, you know, I think there might be something illegal with that, because if they went out as a GM employee, they're going to do this to the rest of the GM employees that retired at the same time or went before them?
Right.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty serious business. You know, you're getting into federal laws and state laws and, man. That could be really interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I found that out last night. Very interesting.
Well, as you're talking about down south, you know, for what it's worth, you know, people can read this and you can check it out on your own. And I don't know where they really got their information, but the World Socialist website, which a lot of times does their homework, you know what I mean, before they put stuff out there. And they had that 240,000 people fell off the union rolls in 2016. They're putting union membership as a percentage of the labor force fell 0.4% to 10.7%. That's by a big contrast from union membership in 1980 when it was over 20%. So we've lost, you know, basically almost half of that. And I think part of that is by certain unions not backing other unions and they got into problems. I think there's times when we could have made a stand when we didn't make a stand. And like your cousins down in Alabama, or one cousin down in Alabama that thinks that the union can do no wrong.
And yeah.
listens and does everything they tell you to do. You know, tell you how bad things are, but, you know, until it happens, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't either. I there's nothing I can tell. I don't know any more about especially pensions.
Right. Now, what do you know about Jim Cramer?
Jim Cramer, CNBC, right? Is that the bald-headed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
He is a globalist. He made a ton of money. And two years ago, he gave a lot of bad information on a lot of things. Now, I haven't checked him out this year because you only get burnt once and you don't listen to the guy anymore. And he burned a lot of people with some of his stock tips, and I'm sure some came out all right, but there were some big articles about him. I don't know how he's doing this year, but no, I don't agree with Mr. Cramer on a lot of things. And what's up with Mr. Cramer?
Well, I did post an article on workers, workplaces, and unions. And you'll have to, listen to Wade's little video on there. This is why Jim Cramer won't recommend GM or Ford if they close foreign plants.
I see.
And he was saying that if the president only goes after domestic automakers, then these companies will be disadvantaged to the foreign competition who can build the cars in places like Mexico. He said that he feared that the American auto companies would become losers. For most of us who are around the automotive industry, you go back before even when Don hired in General Motors. They weren't making products in Mexico, wasn't bringing them in from Japan, and we basically dominated the whole world with our products.
Yes, we did.
We're not going to go back to that point, but people don't seem to understand I can understand how you think there might be a disadvantage. For the other hand, there'll be more people working who are going to want to buy those vehicles here. they are given the opportunity to make a living wage.
Yeah, a living wage, and let's get something straight. The prices of these vehicles coming from all over the world, coming into our country, you don't see them any cheaper.
Mm-mm.
Because they're made in Mexico don't mean they're knocking off $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 because they're paying their workers $5 or $6 an hour. So who's making all the profit?
Right.
You're right.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that tonight. There's
do not
big
see
record profits all over.
Right.
But when you talk about that, they're not knocking off money and they're making profits off this. You have to stop and think about that for a minute. Like, okay, what's it going to cost to bring that work back here? Well, as you remember, Danjen talking about logistics, the shipping costs.
Take the new body wash.
So,
hold on.
What?
I was going to play the tape, and it just started playing. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, with the foreign competitors coming in that are here now, they're rooted. You had Honda and Toyota,
right.
Mercedes-Benz, Kia, Mazda. Well, Mazda was part of Ford.
Right.
They're making all this big money. And you're right. They don't drop the price of those vehicles any.
No.
So what's the cost of your transportation, you know, the logistics of it, and the movement of all this stuff, and the parts that you're getting, and the parts that you're getting from Mexico and South Korea and wherever else that you're bringing to the assembly plant. You know, that all adds up,
right,
too, and has to weigh
yeah.
up against this. But anyway, I just thought it was an interesting article to throw up there, and I thought I'd do that. It's interesting to see what happens, you know. I'm trying to find exactly what I was going to talk to you about. Oh, now, you know, this last week, Ford and Chrysler announced their year-end profits, right? And the payouts
yeah.
for the profit sharing? Okay.
Right.
For those who are listening, I did put this article up on workers, workplaces, and unions. And if anybody else from who else listens to the show wants to snag that and share that, they're more than welcome to. This is from the PR Newswire, and I pulled this right from General Motors investment site. This was put out on January 9th, 2017. Says that General Motors will announce its fourth quarter 2016 financial results on Tuesday, February 7th at approximately 7:30 a.m. A press release, financial highlights, and presentation slides with notes will be available on the company's investor relations website, on the earnings release section, and on GM's media website. They will host a conference call for financial analysis at 10 a.m. to review the results and answer questions. And I guess if you're one of these people and you want to call a number, it's 1-888-808-8618 in the U.S. So there you go. So we've not heard what's going to what we've done.
Right.
And for, well, over a week now, 10 days, something like that. And
right.
I put a lot of articles out there today. I don't know if you saw the one where General Motors is going to lay off up to 600 workers in Ontario.
Ontario.
And work to Mexico.
Yeah, I've seen it, yes.
And like I said, I was really busy today and put a whole bunch of stuff out there prior, of course, to the show. And I just thought that was really disturbing. Well, they got 625 jobs being moved from in Canada to Mexico, and that's
right.
Reuters that's reporting on that one.
Hold on for a minute, Scott. Hang on for a minute.
Sure.
We have Tulio in the chat room, and I understand somebody told me you went to Vietnam. I would like to, you know, if you could call in next Saturday night or whenever you can, whenever it's possible, I would like to talk to you about that and get your perspective and what you thought of the country. And that's for Tulio. Has nothing to do with the UAW Factory Whistle Show. I just heard
okay.
last night. I was amazed. You know, I go, I want to talk to him. Thanks, Tulio. That's my man. He is he's a young man, very smart young man. Very smart young man. Does he studies. He knows what's going on. We might not agree.
Right.
You know, we don't agree on a lot, you know, maybe not on a lot of things, but he's got questions and he's got answers to some of our questions we give him. So he's a very smart young man. And I don't want to insult him calling him a young man. I'm 61. Everybody's young man to me. So we'll let it go at that before somebody starts hooting on me for being a old bastard.
Nah. You're not that old yet. What was it that Groucho Marx used to say? You're only as old as the woman you feel.
That's true. That's true. That
well,
is
that
true.
Case, you're what?
I'm
40?
In my 40s. I'm in my 40s.
There you go. Well, while I was doing the show, I somehow missed it last week. A young lady at Time Workers Workplaces and Unions, and some other sites. And if I didn't mention her name, but if I did, you'd know who it was.
Right.
Posted that. Well, she's very conscious for the workers. She's really out there looking out for people. Anyway, she did post that the Missouri Senate passed the right to work in Missouri. So Missouri is now, what, that'd make it the 27th, 28th state for right to work. So coupled with the union's decline in membership. And I'm going to tell you, you want to stop this right to work baloney? Not real hard. And this is directed towards, right down towards Detroit.
Now, Scott, you take
you,
over for a
yeah.
few minutes. Take over for me. I've got a phone call, please.
Sure.
Thank you, brother.
If you go down Detroit with this whole thing, and if you was to take care of the needs of your membership, there are requirements that aren't being met. The leadership's aspect, from their point, to us, the members, it would make these right-to-work bills a lot harder to catch if we had more unionized workers in these states. And people would be more apt to join a union if they seen that there were benefits to it, better benefits than what we're getting now. They read about what happens to the seniority workers, the pensioners, the people who are retired. They're reading about this stuff in the paper, you know. So it's kind of hard to hide and run from the situation. And it's getting to be harder and harder to unionize in places. And I just in my opinion that they've made it this way. I know nobody's happy about this bill. And we know that right to work doesn't do anything but help the corporations. But for the life of me, I don't know why the unions aren't putting up a bigger fight with this. And how do you fight such a thing like this? You make it so that everybody wants to join your union. And that's, I guess that's one way of doing that. Ford is going to be paying out $9,000 in profit sharing to its UAW workers. They announced that the profit is was set up, and if I remember right, somewhere earlier this week, I thought I posted it. I might not have, but that there was a write-off on the fourth quarter for almost, I believe, $800 million. He said 56,000 people, Detroit News reporting 56,000 United Auto Workers hourly employees receive profit sharing of 9,000 on average. They said that the payout will be on March 9th. That's from the representative from Ford had said. Bob Shanks, Ford Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, said the results were very strong and something we're very happy about. Of course, Vice President of the UAW Ford Department, Jimmy Settle, said in a statement that there's an important indicator that Ford Motor Company is healthy, financially secure company, which translates to job security for our members. Well, Settles also know that a profit sharing is not a benevolent payout from Ford, but something the UAW deserves and demand. both job security and financial gain for our membership have always been at the top of my priority list, and today's announcement solidifies our efforts, Jimmy Settle said. Job security and financial gain for our membership. And Jimmy Settles would negotiate a better contract that did away with tier 2, 3, 4, and 5, and would put these people all on the same level playing field so that they could all financially be secure. Or maybe the tier 2 and the temporaries and part-time temporaries and the long-term or permanent temporaries, maybe they're not part of the membership. It's kind of foggy what I'm supposed to understand what this says in this article, going by what Jimmy Settleson said. Like I said, $9,000 he paid out in March. And there was, I cannot remember what it was. There was a, I want to say there was almost an $800 million write-off coming off the fourth quarter. And with that coming off the fourth quarter, I'm thinking, you know, that might have been just a couple, a few extra dollars in your back pocket, maybe. I'm just trying to remember. Last year, Ford brought in $9,300. That was last year's. Fine with that. I believe it was $768 million was written off on Ford, and for special fees and special write-offs at the end of the year, whatever. You know, they took that off what they paid out on profit sharing. Why don't you guys take that off the top instead? You know. I guess my thought. And for our Fiat Chrysler America UAW brothers and sisters, $5,000 bonus this year. And I believe that will be paid out, I want to say, February 17th. Yes. They figure about 40,000 UAW workers with the Fiat Chrysler Automotive next month will receive an average of profit sharing payment of $5,000. Again, that's an average of $5,000. They were negotiated as part of the union's contract. They're based on the company's North American profit margin, which was 7.4% in 2016 and 1% increase compared to 2015. Employees expect to receive their payment on February 17th. Now, the profit sharing formula under the new four-year contract differs from the past 4 years, which were based on $1 for every $1 million profit under the previous contract, based on 85% of FCA's earnings, formerly Chrysler. Under the previous deal, workers would have received only $4,000, they said. A new contract based on workers receiving $800 for every 1% in profit margin generated by FCA North America is based on individual compensated hours. So when we say the individual compensated hours, those are hours that Brian and I talked about a few times now on the show. Some people who might not have put as many hours into the year for one reason or another probably would not attain that $5,000 amount, or the average, as they're calling it. So it's there. He's back.
Yes, I am.
Yes, talking about Chrysler. Chrysler's going to receive $5,000 average, and out of the article explained how their formulation is different than Ford and General Motors.
Oh, okay, I got you.
They get $800 per point on a profit margin instead of on the profit itself. Instead of the old formulation, they would have got $4,000. Under the new formulation, they'll get $5,000. So, interesting. there was a strike about this time of year, not too long ago, 1987, January 27th, which would have been Friday for us now.
I think I remember that.
Was John Deere and Company had a turning point in local labor relations during an ugly decade. And it was a five-month strike lockout that idled more than 12,000 UAW workers at the John Deere plants in Illinois, Iowa, and three other states, including more than 3,700 other members in the Quad Cities. After ratifying the agreement on February 2nd of 1987, 163 days after the strike began. I put that article up there. They said that cost them more than $100 million back then. And as we know, 10 years later, 9 years later, another contract would be negotiated with a young man by the name of Dennis Williams. And we would see the birth of the Tier 2 system. I cannot find, I know I read it, and I cannot find it, and I thought I posted it on here. Don, I'm almost positive they're taking an $800 million write-off in the fourth quarter off the adjusted, off the backside instead of on the front. I would think our brothers and sisters that Ford would have got just a few more dollars in their back pocket had they not done that. And that's
I think it was $800 million.
Right. Now I could have swore this last week that they said that they beat Wall Street's projection by quite a bit. Wall Street was projected maybe 10, and then I was reading 10, and then I think Thursday or Friday I read somewhere that somebody from one of the markets up there on Wall Street had put them down at $10.4 million, or billion dollars. So I guess you'd have to go to Ford Motor Company on the investor site and see exactly what they're quoting. But I mean, $9,000 is still a nice chunk of cheese.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And I don't have a calculator available to me right now, but I guess you'd have to divide that $9,000 up by about 1,870 hours, I think. I guess it's a year's worth of work, and see what that comes out to, and understand that had that been in your base wage, that would have counted towards your pensions. So, right?
Yeah.
Would have been a little more money.
Pensions would have been looking real good. They would have done that. Absolutely.
It's been a real busy week this week. It really has. And I'm going to take just a little bit of time to talk about that real quick because a couple of things really happened that I thought were really interesting with the president this week. At the White House. And the first one was that President Trump had a meeting with the leaders of the building, the sheet metal unions at the White House. There were some other union leaders there. I don't think Dennis Williams was there.
No.
You had Steve McGarvey, President of North American Builders Trades Union. Terry O'Sullivan, President of the Laborers International Union of North America. And Joseph Sellers, President of SMART, a sheet metal union, were there. And when they got done, there's other people that were there, too, in the Roosevelt Room. There's also all the business leaders. You know, he had like Elon Musk and Mark Sutton. I'm trying to think, Marilyn Houston, Lockheed Martin, Wendell Weeks of Corning, Mark Fields of Ford. They met a day later. When they had got together, it was a meeting of the 12 chief executives of the large companies at the White House to discuss the revitalizing of manufacturing economy here in the States. And I guess earlier this month that there was a separate meeting with Teamsters President Jimmy Hoffa and AFL-CIO President Richard Krupka in New York. Now, whether you like this man, you don't like this man, he did do one thing that has helped us working people. He has withdrawn the United States from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's gone. After the meeting with the union leaders had got out, you know, he said he was really interested as far as, you know, talking, you know, with the president as far as what they had. He said that no president has ever invited them into the office to talk to him like this. And that's a pretty amazing feat when the president calls the president of some of the largest unions in the United States come in and discuss. I thought that was pretty cool. And like I said, the one president said this was just unheard of. He says this never happened in the last 10 years.
Right.
So
probably.
We're getting there. We're heading there somewhere. Right. And then the following day, he brings in Mark Fields, Mary Barra, and Sergio Marchionne. And they had a lot to talk about. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think it's good. I think more he talks to people and get his ideas out, they get their ideas out. Then hopefully everybody can come out with something good for the workers of America. And it doesn't matter if you belong to a union or not. I think that's a step in the right direction.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, the Japanese automakers weren't invited to this meeting. BMW, Volkswagen, they weren't available for comment.
Right.
And VW comes out and says, hey, we employ near 100,000 people, annual payroll of about $7.6 billion, and they said that they produce about 40% of the cars assembled in the United States. I'm going, 40%, that's a pretty high number. You know, you're saying that you produce almost half the cars that are made in the United States? So, I thought that one was a little high, but I have to figure out how many jobs we've lost. And I think that was the whole idea of the meeting, is to find out where we're at. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, it could be a very interesting, I would like to have been a fly on the wall on that discussion. Actually, for both days, would have been a very interesting time.
They seem to be the union folks came out, and matter of fact, a couple of them were on MSNBC, and they were amazed that happened. First of all, second of all, they of course, you know, they're Democrats, and they really liked what he said, the president said. And hopefully it works out. You know, time will tell. You know, he's only been in office a little over a week. So it'll take some time. We'll see what, you know. They were really happy. They were really pleased with what went down.
Right. Well,
even Chris Matthews, believe it or not, from MSNBC, said, I didn't vote for the guy, but I do like some of the things he's doing. And I about fell out of my chair. So,
right.
Yeah, and he was talking to the union, two union gentlemen. So that'd be nice. We could get people working again. There's like 92 million not working and used to work. That's a lot of folks. Lots of folks.
Right. You know, and then again, it all depends on where you're getting your story from. I mean, there are some news agencies that are very tilted.
Oh, yeah.
And we're finding out now that some of the ones that we thought we trusted in the past may not be as trustworthy now.
Right.
And I guess you have to kind of be careful. You know, look, I did post some story from the Washington Post, and I know the New York Times isn't very friendly. I don't know.
I don't care if you're friendly as long as you're honest.
Well, and that's another thing. And the old Tennessean, the one that we got a lot of sources, yeah, good sources from, for the Volkswagen stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in that.
They posted that there are 70 people in the Nashville that are protesting the Canton Nissan plant's working conditions. And they are organizing. Don't know who they're organizing, but I did post an article. It is by the Tennessean. There's a member who's got Ernest Whitfield, 13-year employee at Nissan in Canton, Mississippi. Does that sound right?
Well, there's Canton, Ohio, and there's probably a Canton in every state. I don't know.
Right. Says he wants the Japanese automaker to treat its employees with dignity and allow workers to unionize. He's a press operator, and he stood along 70 other protesters at Nashville Coleman Park on Thursday, just across the street from the Action Nissan dealership on Thompson Lane and 15 miles north of the company's North American headquarters in Franklin. Maybe it must.
Are we still in Tennessee?
Yes, that's Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Franklin, Tennessee is right. I think a little south of Nashville, and then you got Spring Hill, a little south of that.
Yeah, he's talking about the workers in Mississippi.
North.
He wants them to have the right to organize. But if you remember this ploy, not too long ago, it was called the Drive for Five. Wasn't that what Bob King had set up where he wanted people to go out and spend 5 hours out of their week at the dealership protesting?
Yeah. I remember something like, yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of what this sounds like a little bit. I could be wrong, and, more power to you. But they're wanting to organize supposedly down there. And see what happens, I guess. You know what I mean? I mean, they said the Canton plant has been facing longstanding criticisms from the UAW about worker safety. And as you know, worker safety laws aren't just federally mandated, but they can differ from state to state what's allowed.
Right.
I hope this guy helps out, can do something, but they've been trying to get that plant organized for a long time down in Mississippi, haven't they?
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
Right.
Quite a while.
And then our brothers and sisters from local 11, 12, and 17, 14, we've all been on, well, some of us have all been on a layoff at one time or another, careers, and we can feel for you, but theirs is the worst kind. They walked out on Friday not knowing when or if they'll be back at all. And that's got to be probably one of the worst feelings that you can have.
So, yeah, it is. It sure is. Not good. Not a good feeling at all.
No. You know, at least you're past the holidays for right now, but my word, it's only January, and you have more than 800 people are impacted to suspend the shift at the Lordstown plant. So they're going to try to come together and see if they can help them out through the rough time. And the local 11-12 president said that they were going to do everything that they could do to help them. And
right.
The president for the other local from 17-14 said it's like losing a family member. And I'm not at Lordstown. I don't know how many people there were temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem like you'd get rid of the temporary people before you got rid of the seniority workers. Maybe they did that. I don't know. Because there is a place in the contract which allows them to keep temporaries under certain circumstances. So be interested to see how that hands out. They're going to have unemployment and they're going to be filing. They're going to help them with that, with the registration system to do all that if they have. You know, you have 26 weeks. It's hard. It is.
And don't forget February 11th in South Bend, Indiana.
That's right. That's right. For most of us that are UAW members, that's a white shirt day. And we used to wear white shirts to show that we were just as good as the management people. Right?
That's right.
And if you're like me, sometimes I wear a white shirt with a black band on my arm, a funeral band.
That's true.
So that kind of made me make a statement, you know, heading the other direction, I guess you could say, right?
You should wear that next time you vote for a contract.
No kidding. Teamsters are fearing a lockout at Honeywell. There's 1,000 Twin City workers could be affected after their contract expires in 2 days, January 31st. Teamsters said that they're fearing for these people in 4 Twin City plants that might be locked out when their contract expires on January 31st. They said the talks between Honeywell and the Teamsters, Local 1145, have been ongoing since December, but the two sides are far from reaching a contract agreement. So, of course, the Honeywell official said that they are committed to bargaining in good faith. Negotiators will resume Tuesday, which would be the 31st, right? Yeah. They said a federal mediator is expected to get involved. So this is just, it's just happening all around us, Don.
Yeah. It's all around.
And I just, and I'm just thinking, how do we get to such a point? In my opinion, it's because we've become so weak as unions. We haven't shown our solidarity. We've trusted the leadership and taken them for what they said to be truthful and honest and have our best interests in hand, as most of the union's constitution would probably say for whichever union you're with. And that has panned out not to be what's actually happened. I'm just saying, no, nobody, it's like the United States as a whole. Nobody fears the United States anymore. And nobody's afraid of the unions anymore. I mean, not that you should be afraid of the union, but people need to realize from border to border and from coast to coast, the things that get moved around are all by our union brothers and sisters. So, you know, people don't understand how important it is to have a union and the benefits of being a union member. It isn't like it used to be 30 years ago. It's changed. But I have hope for the future, right?
Absolutely. Got to.
Yeah.
Got to have hope.
And I think that this thing with General Motors and President Trump, Mary Barra, I believe she sits on one of his councils, right? Yeah.
You mentioned that, yeah.
And something to do with jobs. Remember, I thought Sanders would be a better person for that position than what she would be. Anyway, I'm feeling this out a little bit, and maybe it's just me and my opinion on it, but it sounds like they've kind of ruffled each other's feathers, President Trump and Mary Barra.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had talked about, you know, maybe putting a tariff on vehicles that were built in Mexico but then brought here to sell the United States. And she said that would be very good business, and she wasn't too scared about that, and she was going to have somebody tell them how to run their company. And now they have, you know, 625, 650 jobs leaving Canada and going to Mexico. So that could be interesting. It is the Ingersoll assembly plant in Ontario. And that could be by the end of July. They said, of course, the union believed the North American Free Trade Agreement and Mexico's cheaper labor costs for job losses. They said that it was called unjustified, given the sale of the Chevrolet Equinox crossover and the GMC Terrain sport utility vehicle assembled in Southern Ontario plant. They said this came out of right or left field. So the union was basically blindsided with this whole thing. They said this had nothing to do with Trump, but it has everything to do with NAFTA. So we'll see what happens when the president gets to NAFTA now, won't we?
Yeah, and he's going to do something with NAFTA. They're going to be lip.
All I can do is.
It's no lip service there. You know, he's proven this last week, whether you agree with him or not, what he said on his campaign. In his campaign, he has started, and NAFTA is definitely a part of it. And it's going to happen. Something's going to happen with NAFTA. Now, I don't know what the hell it's going to be, but something's going to happen to NAFTA. Either he's going to ditch it all, or they're going to renegotiate something a little more fair.
Right. I think with Canada going back and forth with Canada, we're about on par. In fact, actually, I think we're a little bit ahead of them again now, right? On the money exchange. I think if you go across the border now and you give them an American dollar.
Well, the dollar's up, so I don't know. I don't know what the exchange anymore.
Actually, I think it went, our dollar went way up because we have a truck driver that brings in some parts from Canada to our plant, and I get to talk to him, I think, every other day he comes in. And I'm pretty sure he told me that you put in a dollar and you get a $1.37 Canadian back. That's 37 cents on a dollar.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? We talked about that the other day, Cinnamon and I, and you're right. Yeah. That's exactly.
And I think before, the last time I had been to Canada, we went through Canada, went across the bridge through Canada, then came back in New York. And I think it was like 26 cents on a dollar then. So that's been a long time ago. So, I mean, as far as the Canadian dollar goes, but now with Mexico, what a lot of people don't understand is it's almost like dealing with China. Their currency right now, peso, is faltering back.
Yeah, it's way low.
And if I'm not mistaken, you're probably more up on this one than I am, but they charge us like 20%, don't they? For anything we're bringing in?
I think it is 20%. I believe it is. But the tariff you're talking about?
Yeah. And it's like, if we was to level that playing field and spin that around, well, that'd be a whole different ballgame, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, it would be a big, the bad thing about Mexico is the people. There's so many poor people in Mexico, but all the money goes to the big boys. Just like in other countries, when we send millions and millions of dollars to other countries, the people don't see it. They don't see any of that money. So they got to start. They could take care of the cartels. And they could have a great country. But not anymore. Not right now, anyway.
Right. No. Now we're at odds right now with their government. You remember when I was talking about Ford, and I've changed the subject. Ford took a fourth quarter loss reflecting on pension accounting and write-downs for abandoning a plant in Mexico. And they reaffirmed its forecast that profits for 2017 would be better. They reported a loss of $783 million, or 20 cents a share, for the fourth quarter of 2016 because of a $3 billion non-cash accounting remeasurement they announced last week. So after taxes, the pension remeasurement took a $2 billion bite out of Ford's net income. The fourth quarter, also took $200 million hit from the cost related to canceling a $1.6 billion small car plant in Mexico. wait a minute. Have you built the plant yet? I don't think they built the plant yet, did they?
No, not that I know of.
Yeah, so, Sounds like some funny accounting practice going on there. You're taking a hit on something you never made? Sounds like General Motors. I don't know.
I don't know, to be honest with you. I heard they, I thought they started it and stopped. I read that somewhere. I don't know where, though, quite a while ago. Now, I don't know if it's, it's something to do with the government of Mexico. I have no idea. I don't know.
Right. I gotcha. It's interesting. So we hear from Ford. You hear from General Motors saying, 2017 is going to be better. You have some people that are watching the markets and stuff. And I come across an article that was from Library for Smart Investors. It's trending mm-hmm. market news.
Right.
And that was written on the 25th. Of course, I got to it today. And it says that the analysis predicts a bleak future for General Motors and Ford Motor Company. I'm listening to Fields from Ford saying how 2017 is going to be better, multiple times, talk to investors, and then you've seen who's the vice president for General Motors. Cannot think of his name. Every time I think of who killed the electric car, he always comes to bat, up to mind. He was the one in the movie that said that they wouldn't, the car would be 100% recyclable. Anyway,
I don't.
He said that 2017 was going to be a booming year for General Motors also. And then I come across this article. They said that, the benefits of rising car sales, the faithful political change in the country, that they met with them. New plants in USA, they said that's a totally infeasible option, which we know better. You create jobs here. You have people that have, and I'm not talking about these $15 an hour jobs. I'm talking about getting people a good living wage. You get them the people, that kind of money here, our economy is going to boom. Boom, I tell you. This guy doesn't seem to think that neither one of them would be a good investment. Like I said, I posted that article on Workers, Workplaces, and Unions, too. Like I said, today I was really busy early this afternoon and trying to get as much information out there as I could. I was just amazed at the amount of money, the profits that these corporations, they're putting out. And I stop and think, how much money globally did you make? Not on North American operations, but globally. Think about that for a minute.
Well, yeah. Lots. I know GM made a lot of money, but I don't know how much, but China.
Oh, yeah. They sold almost 4 million vehicles in China alone this last year.
Yeah.
It was just over 3.5. 3.6. 7 million vehicles that they said that they sold with General Motors and with their, they call them partnerships over there. The companies that General Motors are owners of, because China does different business practice. Whatever you make, the Chinese government gets half of that. So.
Yeah, Then, they do a lot of things.
Yeah. So anyway, 3.67, almost 3.75 million vehicles in China alone.
Mm-hmm.
Holden Holden is closing down a plant also, and they're going to be sending money back back to the United States, $150 million worth. Imagine that. They are closing, I cannot think of the name of the place, Adelaide. They've been making cars there for more than 60 years in the plant in northern Adelaide. The local director for GM Holden said the return of capital to the $77 billion automotive giant in the U.S. Will not be prejudiced. He said the local arm's ability to pay its creditors and other debts. The restructuring of GM Holden balance sheet comes as it approaches automotive manufacturing in both the United States and Australia are marked contrast as new for the new U.S. President. Donald Trump demands car markets to invest more in local production in the U.S. as part of the America First approach. So they said that Mary Barra told Dutch Bank at the Global Automotive Industry Conference on January 10th that they had made bold decisions on revamping the GM global footprint in countries, including Australia, to improve the parent company's overall return on investment. GM Holden announced in December that they intended to close down as car maker in Australia, and it revealed on January 13th this year the specific date of final production and assembly line in Elizabeth in Adelaide would be October 20th. So, wow. I always thought that the Holden was a base for a whole platform of cars, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought so.
But I thought, too, that when they first brought the Camaro back, that was based on a Holden platform. The G8, the old Pontiac G8, when they killed off Pontiac, that was based on a Holden platform. The Caprice, especially police pursuit vehicle.
Right.
I think this is the last year you're going to be able to get them. That's a rear-wheel drive. That's based on the Holden Commodore, which, by the way, I tried to get one in the United States back in 1987, and they wouldn't allow that to be brought into the United States. It was a rear-wheel drive car. It was, of course, Holden was owned by General Motors at that time also. You had a rear-wheel drive car with a Chevrolet 350 on it. It was a four-door. Went about 165 miles an hour and was solidly built. Couldn't get one. Between the production standards, they said, and emissions. So I tried to get a Holden years ago. It was a tough little car. I know which one you know. You heard of the Chevrolet SS?
Yes.
Okay. The Chevrolet SS is based off of the new Holden Commodore Series platform. And for those that don't know, if you go to a Chevy dealership and order a Chevrolet SS, they are rear-wheel drive. You can get different packages on them. Between $45,000 and $55,000, $55,000 of course, top of the line.
Yeah.
For an additional $600, you can get it badged. Instead of saying Chevrolet, you can get it badged with the Holden line on the front and in the back, and I think on the wheel on the hubcaps. I like that.
For an extra $600. Now, if you're going to spend 45 to 55, what's another 600?
Yeah. Well, this car's, it's about like the size of my 2002 Impala.
All right.
It's about that size. And it has 450 horsepower, I believe. And it's rear-wheel drive. So it'd be a fun little car to drive around the block, I would imagine.
Yeah, that'd be nice and quick.
We have one at the Flint Assembly, and they did get it badged as a Holden. I thought, well, I got a foreign car in our parking lot around. I looked at it, and I looked the emblem up, and that's a Holden.
Bobby. Well.
So I looked one of them up, and wow, they're not cheap.
No.
So, Mark Royce. Mark Royce is the
vice president.
He's executive vice president. Yep.
Right.
Mark Royce. So it's been very interesting because both Ford and General Motors, especially Mark Royce, said that they're going to have a boom year for 2017. And I don't know why they wouldn't. You're hiring all these temporaries that the union has allowed, which is allowed for a higher profit margin on all your vehicles, right?
Yeah. Oh, hell yes. Yes. What is it, 15 something an hour, something like that? You start? Or
right.
That's where you're going to be because you're temporary.
Right. Yeah. The lower three tier, temporary, part-time temporary, I got to think about this again. Part-time temporary, short-term temporary.
That's insane. Right. Where the hell they come up with all that?
Well, it's actually an oxymoron on a permanent temporary.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Jeez.
A permanent temporary.
Dennis what Williams.
Permanent. I mean, what was it like when you hired in?
What do you mean? What was it like?
How many days did you have to work before you came full time? What was your
90.
Wages? Your benefits?
90 days, and I didn't start out full wage. I started out at $6 and something cents. And then when I got my 90 days in, they back paid me for what I didn't get that the regular, worker got. And so I got a little, I got that little bump in my check, and then I got a raise, and I was hired. It's nothing like today.
I'm just trying to think, that's a big contrast, like you said, of today. And then how many people were around you? Things were also above one, right? How many people were around you?
How many people were around me?
Like the plant production, how many people were working in the plant?
Oh, over 7,000 people. Flint truck had 7,000 people in on two shifts. About 7,200, I think it was.
And making two different vehicles too, right?
Three. Pickup, Suburban, and Blazer.
Suburban and a Blazer.
We had line
on the same line, though, right?
Line one and line two, right. Suburban and Blazer ran on the same line. And we had military contract off and on.
Those are pretty good contracts to have. They still are. I don't care who you're working for. And then,
right.
When did you guys quit making the Impala?
When did I stop making the Impala?
Didn't they make the Impala at Flint for a while?
They might have. I don't know. I know we did. Oh, what did we do? Jeez. Don't ask me these things. I don't know.
Sorry.
Impala. I don't recall.
We did the Corvette for a while.
Yeah, we did that. That was way back in the day.
Right.
In 50, about when they opened.
Right.
I don't recollect ever hearing about an Impala, it could have been. I don't know.
Okay. I'm just trying to remember. I know Janesville built the Capri where they got the truck.
Yeah, and then they took our Suburban.
With no 96 moves.
Yeah.
Just got 96s on the way back.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
actually, they rode on the piggyback on the 560. Which they're making again.
Yeah, they are making the 560. Where are they? Who's making that? Or where?
I believe it's a partnership. I don't think it's Navistar. It's one of the big truck makers, one of the semi makers. I think it's International.
International?
International.
Big.
I'm pretty sure it is International. I'll have to look that up. I was trying to remember. They are doing those in two different places. I'm trying to think. They're doing that at the Charlotte here in Michigan, on the other side of Lansing, west side of Lansing. Right down 69, somewhere there's an outfitter there where they outfit them, and I cannot remember where the other place is at. There's two different places. They're a little more expensive now than what they used to be.
I can imagine.
So, talk about those cars, those trucks. A lot. And it's a shame that we got out of that market. So
yeah.
I don't think it was made at Flint. I think you are right. I thought the Impala was made at Flint, but it's saying Baltimore, St. Louis, and Southgate. Southgate, California. I could have swore that we made, could have made one in Flint. Well, they did make them in, from 60 to 64, they made them in Arlington, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, and of course Southgate in Baltimore also. So there was some different generations. Oh, I was right. From 1965 model year to 1970, Flint, Michigan, Flint Assembly.
There you go.
Built from Arlington, Atlanta, Georgia, Southgate, Flint, Michigan, Framingham, Massachusetts, Janesville, Wisconsin, Norwood, Ohio, St. Louis, Sleepy Hollow, which is in New York, the old Tarrytown plant.
Yeah.
Lordstown, Ohio. In Wilmington, Delaware, and they also made in Oshawa, Canada, and St. Therese, Quebec.
Well, that's just 8 years before I was hired in. You would think I would have known that.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, and then from 70 to 76, they made it Arlington, Southgate, St. Louis, and then Oshawa, Canada, and then in Rosario, Santa Fe, Argentina. So they must have liked their cars down there. And then
yeah,
from 76, yeah, from 76 to 85 was Arlington, Detroit, Michigan, which is the Detroit Assembly, which I think is closed now. Janesville in Oshawa, Canada. Well, again, Rosario, Santa Fe, Argentina, and Caracas, Venezuela. I'm sure them are, a few of those are probably still being used as taxi cabs down there right now.
If you can afford to take a taxi.
Right, right. The overall length of that car was 212 inches.
Yeah.
Front legroom was 42 inches. Your front headroom was 39 inches.
You had some room, didn't you?
Yeah, your rear legroom was 39 inches. So, yeah. And your luggage capacity, which would be probably your trunk, was 20.9 cubic feet.
Yeah.
Full-size car.
That's when they build a car.
Yeah, yeah. You heard Danjan quoting somebody from the police officers, and they said that probably the best built police vehicle they ever had was that 1979 Caprice.
Well, that was a bad car. Yeah, that was a as a get up and go rocket.
Now that was a little more, wasn't that a little more boxy, a little more square?
Yeah, it was square.
That's what I thought, but you had the room.
Well, you definitely
you
had the room. Yeah, made some good good vehicles back then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're making some good vehicles now, but.
Well, I'm just talking about metal, you know, metal. I like
right.
metal. Nah,
oh,
I'm not talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we make good vehicles now, but. They could be a hell of a lot better, and I'm talking from overseas to here. They could be better.
Right. What is, I'm trying to think. Back then you had what? About 4,000 pounds was the average car? Maybe a little bit more, 2 tons?
It was huge. Yeah, I know that. It was
right.
very heavy. Very heavy vehicles. Just think if you had to put
right.
a tag on that and they go by the poundage. Oh, man.
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, that's what they're doing now, right? Or are they going by value?
Value, I just $200 for my little tag I have to put on my vehicle. I said, $200?
Right.
What in the
Right. They are getting back in the medium duty cab mm-hmm. over truck with the tilt cab, as we
right.
used to call them, with Isuzu, and that was released back in June 30th of last year. So that's one of the persons. Automotive News says that they're getting back in it and they're partnering with Isuzu, We're going to make the 3500 HD, 4500 HD, 5500, and the 5500 HD.
Right.
They said there will be a fleet and commercial sales, and they're getting back into that. And they lost that line back in 2009. I'm just trying to think because I remember there was an article and they were talking about that specifically about where they were going to do that and that they were getting back in that business and that they were going to outfit them Yeah, it was Navistar. I thought it was International. It's Navistar.
Is it Navistar?
That was, I thought Navistar was the joint with Ford and International, wasn't it? Or, I can't remember. I'll have to look into that. Yeah, I remember it was a joint venture with somebody. Because Navistar at one time I thought was owned by Ford. I don't know. But I know, I remember reading an article that they are going to do specialty vehicles to offset them. And they're going to do that at two different places. One was going to be done in, like the custom vehicles was going to be outfitted at a place in Charlotte, Michigan. I don't know. They're going to do 4 to 5 vehicles in Springfield, Ohio. Production will begin in 2018. They'll be manufactured at Navistar's facility in Springfield, Ohio. They're going to add at least 300 jobs and invest more than $12 million in facility upgrades and state-of-the-art equipment there to produce the new vehicles. They're also going to be doing the Isuzu, I guess the top kick, whatever you want to call it, cab forward, cab tilting forward. And I don't know where they're going to, the name of the place they're going to do that. They're going to do, like I said, I remember reading an article somewhere that they're going to ship those up on trailers to Charlotte, Michigan. I can't remember where in Charlotte they give the name of the place that was going to, you know, do a little more swanky interior, you know what I mean? Kind of like what we used to do.
Right.
Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
And General Motors paid $1.3 million to get a 1960s research car. It had a jet engine. It was a one-seater. It was purchased at the Barrett Jackson auction. So,
well, we've only got about 20 seconds, Scott.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, then, I guess we could probably wind her up then. And, hey, are we going to do a show next Sunday?
That's up to you. It's your show. So, you let me know. All I have to do is turn on the equipment and watch the game while you guys do your thing. All right, I'll be here. I will be.
Well,
but it's up to you.
Why don't we take next Sunday off for Super Bowl so everybody can enjoy watching the game?
That sounds good.
So then we'll be back in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. You get a hold of the kids and all right, on behalf of Scott and myself and Rebecca and Brian, we will see you in 2 weeks from now.
All righty.
Have a safe week and don't work too hard. Right, Scott?
There you go. Absolutely.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.